Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers say play ESPN. You can download the ESPN app, which I highly recommend. You can download the podcast. You can open your windows and we'll yell loud enough for you to hear. We're everywhere. Harry Douglas in for Key today. By the way, guys, there's so much going on in sports this week, starting with two-on-two, show versus show. Jay and Key against Bart and Han. I shoot the free throw to see who gets possession.
I wish I can stay and watch that matchup.
Can I tell you what happened? So on Friday, I played a little bit. I got some shots up, played workout. Saturday and Sunday, I work up the right groin. It's not feeling well. Not feeling well at all. I was like, oh, damn.
Don't
what the hell?
The groin.
And all I could think in my mind, it was like, got to play through this. Got to be Jimmy Butler. Don't you come out and start talking about excuses. Guys like Max will never let you go.
That's right. He's an
They'll
inspiration.
They'll never let you go.
Listen, and Max,
the best player didn't win the 2-on-2 MVP.
Because Max is the type of person that he would drag it out for the longest.
That's
He's
right.
not going to let you live it down.
I hate that Max guy. Listen.
Motivated Tom Brady.
That's right. By the way, somehow I weaseled my way into the Tom Brady story.
See how his eyes lit up?
I'm like the prime antagonist to Tom Brady, to the greatest. I'm kind of the greatest quarterback who ever lived in a way.
Tom Brady, now is Steph Curry.
Now Steph Curry.
Yeah. Steph Curry.
Who will be next?
I know who's going to be next.
I don't know. Most significant SEC meeting. I mean, like, think about all the stuff on the table.
I know.
The teams in the conference and NIL and Jimbo and Saban in the same room on the SEC meetings, by the way. Heather Dinich just tweeted, guys, a school spokesman told me Jimbo will be here today and on time for the coaches' mandatory meetings. Sankey told me all coaches will be here. He expects a good conversation. Good conversation.
That's the way to put it.
He said he has turned the page. Jimbo will not be making public comments today. So there's that. Of course, the NHL conference finals are set. Western conference finals start tonight on TNT. Eastern conference finals begin tomorrow night on ESPN. Of course, we've been all over the NBA finals. Jay not wanting to put together a top 10 list.
Nope.
I had the guts to go ahead and put
hilarious.
Together a top 15 list.
See, Max,
in order.
Max has this style.
And I love
stylistically. If he keeps saying it over and over and over, he'll make you believe that he's the one that came up with it.
He's also antagonizing you, too.
That doesn't bother me.
It's like the funniest to
I'm
me.
I'm used to. I don't even give him my contact anymore.
By the way, damn, he's figured me out. Just ignore him. It'll go away. He's looking for attention. Aaron Donald, guys, on I Am Athlete. Mm. We had Brandon Marshall on this show. But Aaron Donald on I Am Athlete podcast, one of the greatest players who ever lived, just won the Super Bowl. The dude won the conference championship and then won the Super Bowl on consecutive plays in the Super Bowl. Stopped the run, stopped the pass against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. It was loose. Unbelievable. So this is on his future in the NFL. Listen.
For me, it's about winning. I don't want to play football if I can't win anyway, so I feel like if it were lying and I got like a real opportunity to win another Super Bowl, then it makes sense to play. But again, it's still a business. We got to handle the business side of things. And if that wasn't to get handled, then it is what it is type situation. I'll be fine regardless.
I know my damn worth, basically, in so many words. I know my worth. I understand. Listen, winning is more important than anything. But at the same time, if I'm going to play, I need to be compensated properly because he is the best player in the National Football League. And I agree with him 100% because we had the same football agent as well.
We all know how negotiations work, right? The moment where you say, okay, I don't need you anymore. I'm good. Then all of a sudden, you as a person that's trying to get the deal done, you're like, well hold on a second. I need you more. I need you more. You're like, that sounds – I'm okay. I'll pass. So I think it's an incredible tactic. Just sit tight. Talk about how thankful you are about what the game of football has provided you. You finished off in a spectacular form or fashion. It's going to cost you a lot of money in order to get me back, but I'm worth that money.
Here's the interesting thing is, you know, you need a second offer to create leverage, right? Almost always. But especially if you're not a free agent, right? But not always, because if you are truly okay with walking away, That is the leverage. That is your other offer. If Aaron Donald comes out and says, now, I plan on playing 8 years, 8 years are up. And by the way, he should have been I don't know how many he won, three or four. He should have been at least a six-time defensive player of the year. Like, when you talk about the greatest defensive players who ever lived, to me, the list starts with Lawrence Taylor, and then to me it's Deion Sanders, and then you can have an argument about anyone else. To me, Aaron Donald is right there. You want to talk about Reggie White. You want to talk about Bruce Smith. You want to talk about, I don't know, Ray Lewis or whoever you want to talk about. I don't know if any of the Mean Joe Green, I don't know any of those dudes better than Aaron Donald.
And he won it three times.
J.J. Watt in his prime. Yep. This dude is crazy. He won three. They robbed him of three. He was easily the best defensive player in the league six times. Just won the Super Bowl. So if he really is good, Harry, with walking away, pay the man and he'll keep playing. Otherwise, he's good.
But here's the thing about Aaron Donald that a lot of people don't understand. I've been in offensive rooms where you go up and you say, hey, this guy can't wreck our game. Offensive coordinator, head coach. They're saying this one player cannot wreck our game. Mm. And this is Aaron Donald at the defensive tackle position. Not DN, not corner, don't throw this way. Defensive tackle where he's seen double teams more than anybody.
And beating them more than anyone.
And beating them.
Yeah, both are statistically true. He sees something like twice as many doubles as anyone else, and he beats the doubles like twice as often as anyone else. Yep. A defensive tackle controlling by himself. But put Aaron Donald on any of the other contenders. Who do you think wins the Super Bowl? Rams still win the Super Bowl if Aaron Donald is on the Bengals? I'm telling you right now, not a chance
I don't think so.
Aaron Donald comes back. It makes the Rams the favorites to win it?
To win the Super Bowl? No, the Buffalo Bills are the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. But I'm saying in your mind.
I'm asking you, in your opinion, no. Aaron Donald comes back, still not the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
But okay. Hard to be the favorites in any given season,
yeah, just
right?
Asking, yeah. No, I'm asking him. Like,
yeah,
you know.
So I'm still going Buffalo.
Why?
The addition of Von Miller is really going to set this team up for success.
Even though people try to utilize, well, the age, the size, you know, the fact, even though he played well, you're not worried about that at all.
The experience that he has, winning two Super Bowls, one in Denver and one with the Rams, being able to take that experience to Buffalo and being able to share that knowledge with guys on that side of the ball, defensively, on that defensive line, on how to do things. And also, when you have a guy join your team that is a two-time Super Bowl champion, it brings a different aura to your organization. Now you have a guy in the building that can talk that talk and walk that walk and help everyone else in this organization who has to get over that hump, try to get over that hump.
Especially for a team that was right there
that was
last
right there.
Year. Right there.
Because I believe if the Buffalo Bills, in my eyes, if they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe that they were going to the Super Bowl. Mm. I just did. And so we get to see that matchup, though, week one, right? Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
We get to see the Buffalo Bills versus the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to try to go out to that one.
Von Miller's a great point. By the way, when you look at his ability to get to the quarterback, and I thought the Rams made a lot of pickups like that. Like, there's a difference between what some team like Arizona did. I'm going to get a name brand who can still play. I mentioned J.J. Watt before. J.J. Watt, he's a name brand who can still play, but at what level?
Yes.
But Von Miller was still playing per snap when you looked at how effective he was at getting pressure on the quarterback at a very high level, and he did it throughout the playoffs. And if he wins a Super Bowl with a third team, that whole list of all-time defenders I mentioned, he's got to be in it.
That's huge.
I mean, he's in it already, but I mean, he's got to – it moves him up. Keyshawn J. Willimax is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
The Splash Brothers spreading the floor. And so it's such a different dynamic defending the Golden State Warriors, but it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a close series. It's going to be a tightly contested series.
Their transition defense might be the best in the league. And against the Warriors, you better believe you need a good transition defense.
Game one, is it a wash for the Celtics because of fatigue and also the awe factor of being on the road on this stage? It's new.
Huh. By the way, winning finals MVP, where you're like, oh, just because he wins the finals MVP, he's going to be top 10 of all time, or Tatum will be a top 10 NBA player, top 5 at whatever, however you have him. By the way, on my list, I did the list, and I have Tatum at the moment at 9.
Okay.
Okay. If he wins finals MVP, maybe he goes up.
I mean, I have to follow up asking who do you have above him and who.
Well, when push comes to shove, I ask a lot of questions, but my answers sometimes are like everyone else's. Giannis 1, KD 2, LeBron 3, Luka 4, Steph 5, Embiid 6, Jokic 7.
You have Luka 4 over Steph.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. I mean, by the way, Luka was really not working with all that much.
Okay, fair.
Embiid 6, Jokic 7, Jimmy Butler 8, Tatum 9, Ja Morant 10. Okay. Kyrie 11, Lillard 12, Booker 13. I'll have Kawhi 14 because I'm paying respects, even though he hasn't played in a while. AD 15. That's my top 15 at this moment.
So Kawhi is not under your list.
I had 14, Kawhi.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 14. My point is, I did it. I want to know your top 15.
I'm not doing that.
You're the basketball expert.
That's why I'm not doing it.
That's why you know enough not to do it, right?
I'm doing a disservice to the game of basketball by ranking the players who are the elite of the league.
It's all about ranking.
But the thing about this
is, had to go to a barbershop anytime recently.
I've already given my ring. I said Giannis is the best player in the world. I made that statement.
Who shaves your head? That's what I want to know.
I do myself.
See, that's why. You don't need any barbershop talk. No. You don't do any of the stuff.
No.
But the thing about the list is that it's like college football. You know, top 25, the rankings come out each week. It can change.
It's fluid. Yeah.
It's fluid. Yeah. It's fluid.
You're hitting a moving target. It's fluid.
That's why before all this playoff series started, I said, hey, look, there is a seat at the table for Jason Tatum to take it. And this whole conversation now has led into, that was months ago. Now, is he a top five player? Is he a top 10 player? My whole thing is we're talking about Jason Tatum.
But
that's
can I
why.
Offer that what I was trying to say before is athletes write their own scripts. Yes, their team, their coaches, circumstances have an enormous influence on it, of course, right? But you tell your own story. If Jimmy Butler hits that shot and they go on to win, he's a little higher in the rank. Well, because of one shot, it's an extremely high leverage shot, right? So here it is. A finals MVP is not a small thing. Winning a championship, just because of one championship, a lot of guys never win a championship. It's a huge thing.
Here's the situation on that. So, and granted, the finals MVP didn't come out until his last year. But, you know, Bill Russell has never won an NBA Finals MVP. He's never won one. It came out in 1969. The last year, he actually won a title, and they didn't give it to him when he won. They gave it to Jerry West on the losing team.
Yeah.
Well, so, there are situations, even though rare and few.
You're blaming Bill Russell for not playing his career during the era of finals MVPs?
No, I'm not. Why would you just totally change the narrative of my
argument? Because you're saying he's never won a finals MVP except for his last season. They didn't have him.
Well, they did have it his last season, and they gave it to Jerry West on a losing team.
One season at the end of his career?
I don't know what you're doing to my argument. I don't know where you're trying to flip it. I'm trying to make the point that, you know, for a lot of – just because you don't have one doesn't mean that you're not the best player.
But that's because there's a big difference between playing in an era where it didn't exist except in your last year and – playing in an era where you've been in five finals and never won one as the best player on your team, a team because of your regular season play largely, that is more than any other factor, that is favored to win in every single finals you've been in but hasn't won every finals.
All I'm saying, Max Kellerman, is you're smart enough to make any argument that you want in any direction if you find validation. You would have found validation. Oh, Bill Russell never. You would have flipped that on us,
no.
Max. Max, all I'm saying to you, go back to 2015. LeBron James is on the same court as Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is never going to be the best player on the court when LeBron James, who is probably the second or greatest player we've ever seen in the history of the game, to be. Right? But your point about him not being the best player on his team is wrong. He was the best player on his team. It just didn't equate to him having the best NBA performance, even though in NBA Finals, he's averaged 26 points per game.
I agree with that.
I hear what you're saying.
And then you put Kevin Durant, the most prolific scorer in the history of the NBA.
He's a better player.
Most prolific scorer. Yes. I'm not saying he's not. He's right there. Resume is different, though, when you compare resume. Basketball-wise, KD is better. Resume, Stephen Curry has a better resume.
Sure, and he deserves. True. I think your strongest argument is he creates the whole thing. Steph creates the environment,
that
the culture, allows other people to shine when they need to. I think that's the strongest Steph argument.
But we're using all those to diminish the greatness of Stephen Curry. What I'm trying to tell you is, as a hooper, I'm not going to allow you
to tell you
the
difference? When you say diminish the greatness, in fact,
that's what you're doing, by the way.
I believe it is I who am actually applying the standard that you want applied. I'm not diminishing greatness. You don't automatically wind up a top 10 player. You got to earn your way in. So all these other guys we're talking about have been the best player on multiple championship teams, right? Mm-hmm. Who have been the best player in the series, in multiple championship series. All these other guys. Steph has yet to do that except for in 2015 where because of injuries to the other team and only because of that, they won, and his performance diminished. What I'm pointing
out. How many of those players have revolutionized the game of basketball?
Absolutely. So some of them have, and Steph is one of them.
The overarching theme is revolutionizing the way the game is played.
Well, others have on that list, too.
Yeah, but give me a couple of who.
Kareem. Wilt. I mean, you could argue MJ. He perfected a style
that was evolving. You give me three.
I mean, Magic and Bird were, to this day, how many guys have played like that,
five.
Right?
But here's the point.
Guys.
Here's the point, Max. I think you have to stop saying. You have to stop saying, other than two guys on the other team not being there. Because there's so many times you can go through playoff series and say, well, this guy wasn't there, that guy wasn't there. Injuries are part of the game. You can't blame Steph Curry because the second and third best player for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
May I point something out?
Go ahead.
There's an adding up, though. Kawhi never wins finals MVP if KD and Klay are healthy because they never win that series, right? Mm-hmm. However, the opportunity was there. They took advantage. And Kawhi was so clearly the best player in the series at that point, right? That he may have been anyway, even if KD was healthy, he was playing at that high a level, but they were to loss. But they won, and you gave it to Kawhi. The one time Steph's team without KD won a title, Kyrie Irving wasn't in how many games? He didn't play most of the series. Like, wasn't playing hobbled, didn't play. And Kevin Love also didn't play in the series, right? Like, so there's a big, and then Steph also didn't win finals MVP.
But that's not Steph's fault.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that when you add up the accolades, right, when you look to see if you're top 10, you have to compare him to the best who ever did it. And I can point to Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all these guys, you know, Shaq, Bill Russell, and they all did things like that. Steph has not
Bill Russell
yet.
Russell never won finals MVP.
But is it safe to say? That's what I'm saying.
You see how that argument comes back?
But check this out, though. Is it safe to say the Boston Celtics would have won the Eastern Conference if everybody for the Miami Heat wasn't healthy? What's healthy?
Hard to say. Because they also, but here's the difference. Miami Heat were banged up, like Jimmy Butler was banged up. He's on the floor, right? Tyler Hero, when he missed games, had a bad playoffs. It's not Kyrie Irving was a superstar.
Do you think will Miami have gone through the Nets and Milwaukee?
If Middleton was there, maybe not. I probably would like Milwaukee there if Middleton was available.
It's interesting. I'm not taking away from Miami getting there.
But do you guys don't think there's a qualitative difference when you have a team built around three stars? It was a big three, like that's why they imported. And two of them aren't even on the floor, and you don't win finals MVP, and that's the only championship you've won without KD. Doesn't that strike you as something that he needs to prove still?
Well, so the next year they're up 3-1, they lose Draymond. Right.
For one game, which is Draymond's fault. Draymond's fault. LeBron goaded him into that. That's a different thing. Draymond's part of the team. He's a little bit of a loose cannon, and LeBron took advantage of that.
I know. I also think we live in the hypothetical world of what if those two guys weren't available. You know, you could make a case hypothetically. Golden State could have 5 world championships right now easily. They were still beating Toronto even after KD got hurt. It wasn't until Klay went down and you're like, oh, damn.
He's been in 5 finals. This is going to be his 6th. They have been favored in every finals, largely because Steph is so amazing in the regular season that the assumption is they will continue to be that in the playoffs, right? They have not won all those finals. They were lucky to win the first one. They 73-win team lost the second one. Then he had 3 with KD. By the way, notably, when KD got hurt, they didn't win that finals. It's not his fault because Klay also got hurt. But I'm just saying, there's always more to prove. Steph has more.
So to me, this is why I said this is a monumental matchup. I have never seen Steph go against the defensive player of the year at the guard spot, the point guard spot, like he's about to now, Marcus Smart. Like even Kawhi, like their personnel, that was more Fred VanVleet. That was more Kyle Lowry who was chasing around stuff. Now you have Marcus Smart. So for me, this metrically is one of the best defensive teams that we've ever seen in the NBA Finals overall. Yet alone against the Golden State Warriors.
Talk about airspace.
Now we're going to crowd your airspace. Now I need to see it.
Huge finals. If Steph wins it, you know what, Jay? Even if he doesn't win finals MVP, but his presence is clear, right? And he wins 4 out of 6 championships. And
that's huge.
And right, absolutely. Especially if he wins Finals MVP or he's the best player on the team, but and they win, is a big difference between you went 500, you never won Finals MVP, and that's and you were favored in every series, but your play didn't live up to the expectations once the games counted the most. It's a big difference.
But I don't think they can win the finals without Steph being great. I just don't.
See, I don't know. I think you guys really minimize. Like how Klay Thompson, if Klay Thompson no, gets I don't. Going, man.
You forget my brother played there. Right. So I'm just saying, I'm not minimizing
there's
them
certain
at all.
Players that have, like, Jimmy Butler is not a momentum scorer to me, right? Like, what that means is, even though he can score in bunches, you just feel the game go vroom, right? Steph is vroom. The game just takes on a different type of energy field. That's what Klay Thompson can do. If he gets going, man, you just also
without dribbling the basketball.
Yeah, just that's bah, the most bah, lethal bah, 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 bah. And then Jordan Poole's dancing. So like there that help it makes a
yeah.
A
different Steph has a, unlike Luka. Steph has a lot of help on this team. A lot. And by the way, Klay probably could capable of getting hotter than any player who ever lived. Like. Klay can fill it up so fast, you can't even believe what
you're
seeing.
Don't let it get to no damn game six. We already know. We know the results when they get to game six. When Klay in the game six, we know the results.
I'm going to call him Klay. I'm going to call him Klay.
Mama name him Klay. I'm going to call him Klay.
I'm going to call him Klay.
Mama, that
goes
that name.
A lot of people want to talk about who has more on the line, Steph or Tatum. 888-SAY-ESPN. Who has more on the line, Steph or Tatum? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. By the way, a former NFL MVP who might be in the same conversation as Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. That's next on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
He obviously is prepared and willing to play without a contract extension.
Deshaun Watson got $230 million. The good news for you, Mr. Bisciotti, is I'm not going to ask for 5 cents more, but guess what? I'm not taking 5 cents less. That's the bill. If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Lamar tried to clear things up because a lot of people said, wait a second, if he doesn't want to get an extension done, that means he doesn't want to be here in Baltimore. And Lamar said on Twitter, he said, no, he loves Baltimore. He wants to stay here. That has nothing to do with it. Lamar's got to bet on himself.
We've been down this road many times, right, through the years. So I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him.
I've been a league MVP. I've been impeccable off the field. That's the bill. If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80. Harry Douglas in for Key today. Lamar Jackson is still without a contract extension. We are 100 days from the NFL season beginning. Lamar would join Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota as the only first-round quarterbacks to play on the fifth-year option without an extension, if indeed he does not sign one. I mean, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold will also likely play on the option without an extension. But Lamar Jackson is in the same conversation as those four quarterbacks. I mean, think about this for a second. Dude was an MVP. He was at least 3 weeks last season, he was the best player on the planet. Here's what Mike Tannenbaum said on Get Up about Lamar Jackson's contract situation. Right here. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN Drop NFL, it. Front Office Insider on Get Up.
If I'm Lamar Jackson, I simply walk in and say, hey, Deshaun Watson got $230 million. The good news for you, Mr. Bisciotti, is I'm not going to ask for 5 cents more, but guess what? I'm not taking 5 cents less. No. I've been a league MVP. I've been impeccable off the field. That's the bill. If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
Sounds like Mike T has heard that once or twice from a player. I'm not taking 5 cents more. I'm not taking 5 cents less. Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst with us now. Good morning, Lou.
What's up, man? How are you?
Good, good. What do you make? What do you make of what's going on with Lamar?
Yeah, look, I won't disagree with Mike Tannenbaum at all. Look, if I'm Lamar, man, look, I think Steve Bisciotti kind of let you in a little bit on his thinking about the situation as it relates to Deshaun Watson, too. And he was like, you know, you could hear like a lot of trepidation in his voice about, so, you know, Cleveland gave him the contract, huh? Cleveland was the team that gave this player, given all the things that are surrounding him in terms of the uncertainty of his availability for 2022, they gave him this contract at a time where I'm trying to negotiate with my MVP-winning quarterback who has not even come close to duplicating the kind of off-the-field controversy that this guy did up in Cleveland, and now I can't even get him to really come to the table and talk to me. So you know that Steve Bisciotti's probably thinking, that's exactly what Lamar is thinking, which is, I'm not taking a dime less than what you gave Deshaun Watson. Nor should he, because that's the way business works. And teams will use leverage points. Every business will use leverage points to their favor, the same way that when you are negotiating on the other side of the table, you have to. And if you're Lamar, that has to be the starting point. That has to be the starting point. It may be the finishing point, too. It may be the end point, too. It may be the exact same contract, but as Mike said, I'm not taking a dime less. Not at all. And then, you know what? And I'll take it another step further. Look, I wish Lamar was at OTA simply because I think the benefit to other players is kind of like immeasurable when you have your best player around all offseason. But if I was him, I would not step foot anywhere near a football field and put myself at risk at all until I get this contract secured. Without a doubt. And if he decides that he wants to go ahead and bet on himself and play on his fifth-year option and then wait until 2023 to see what kind of leverage he can then exert at that time, that's on Lamar. I hope that it doesn't come to that. I hope we are soon talking about a contract that blows Deshaun Watson's contract out of the water and or at the very least Max matches it. But, yeah, this is a very interesting situation because they have built this entire organization, the entire way that they do business, the entire way that they construct their football operation, the way they construct their football team, the way specifically they construct their offense around this one individual. This one individual. So you know he knows that. You know that Steve Bisciotti knows that. And you know that in the end, this is going to be one of those deals that will give us a lot of material to talk about when it gets done, because eventually it will get done, either with Baltimore or somebody else.
So, Lewis, you've been a player. You've been in the front office as well. You know both sides of the business and how players think, how front office people think. If you're the Ravens, are you concerned with giving Lamar that contract that he's going to demand, knowing his injury history the last few years?
Of course. Of course you're concerned. Because – look, although, and see, I may be the wrong person to talk to about this because I have been on both sides and because I know the risk that players take, you know, every time they play the game and how short-lived their careers can be. But look, I would be wanting to make sure I take care of this guy because of the fact that in the first place, I made the investment in him. I decided to go with him and totally reconstruct my organization and my offensive philosophy to suit him and get him up to speed quickly so then we can kind of get the return on investment we needed. So if I was going to do all that, then I would take that final step and go, look, I'm going to go ahead and pay him what the market says because, one, it's the right thing to do. Two, I'm personally invested. And three, what other choice do I have? What am I going to do? Am I going to really let him hit the market? Am I going to really upset everything that I've tried to build since we drafted him? Simply because now I'm going to go, well, what about injury? Well, what about, you know, this? Well, what about the risk that I'm taking here with that because of the way he plays? No. Look, you better have already thought about this a long time ago as to what this could mean down the road. And quite honestly, it's a good problem to have. it's a good problem to be sitting here trying to figure out how to get my franchise quarterback signed to a long-term deal that keeps him happy and keeps us competitive. Because the alternative is being in that quarterback purgatory type situation that many teams are, or flat-out quarterback hell, which many teams are. You don't want to be there. You'd rather have this problem.
Lewis Reddick, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL executive and player, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas filling in for Key today. Lou, I got to ask you, what did you make of Aaron Donald's comments about his future the other day?
Knowing Aaron like I do, and knowing people who know Aaron like they do, he's a very principled, serious young man. Don't take what he is saying lightly. Aaron said he had a goal of playing 8 years in the NFL. When he came into the NFL, well, he played 8 years. Aaron said he had a goal of being considered one of the very best to ever do it, regardless of position. I think he's in that discussion right now. He's in that discussion. He had a goal of being a world champion. Well, you saw the emotion that was all over his face at the end of the Super Bowl. He's accomplished that, too. He said on that podcast he was just on, hey, look, I've made money. I've made plenty of money. Invested it wisely. I'm good. I'm at peace. I'm satisfied. That sounds like a guy who understands exactly where he is at in terms of his career, in terms of his life, and in terms of the kind of leverage that he has on the L.A. Rams at this point in time. Meaning this, I know that the deal I signed a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, I believe it was 3 years ago, you know, made me the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. Well, now I'm sitting down there at about the sixth or seventh, eighth highest paid defensive player in the NFL. Look, I got you got to ratchet me up, man. You got to move me up quickly. Quickly. Right now, T.J. Watt sits at the very top at about $28, $29 million a year. I need to be 30-plus. And deservedly so. And I'm one of the people, Jay Wu, who believes this, that you get yourself into trouble when you start paying guys based off of past performance, that it's always about future performance projection. But I think with this guy, I wouldn't be the one to doubt the fact that this guy can perform going forward for the next 2 to 3 years at the level he's performed over the past 3 to 4 years or the past decade, which is simply being the best player in the NFL, period. So what it comes down to is this. You know what the market says. You know where it's probably going to come in at. And you know the kind of tangible and intangible effect he's going to have on your football team in a negative way if you don't re-sign him. So if you're Aaron, yeah, you're hanging out at Eastern Conference Finals game, sitting courtside with your nice shades on and all that. All the diamonds he had around his neck and on his fingers and on his wrist and everything else. And you're saying, hey, look, you know where to find me. I'm right here. I'm right here on national TV. You know where to find me. And Aaron doesn't take that kind of attitude towards it. He doesn't try to show anybody up. He doesn't try to act like that, which makes his value all the higher as far as I'm concerned. And look, y'all know I'm biased anyway.
Thanks.
Aaron Donald is my guy, and he's a Pitt grad. That is, he's in the conversation for one of the greatest NFL players ever. So you know what that means from a financial standpoint going forward.
Yeah, it means a lot. Back up the Brinks truck. That is Lewis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Lewis, as always.
You got it, guys.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So we've talked about a lot on this show so far today. We talked a lot about what a title would mean for Steph Curry or Jason Tatum. But who's the favorite to actually win it? That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
They are ready for the moment, and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson are going to have a hard time dealing with the length, the athleticism, and the physicality.
You know, there's just too much firepower on Golden State, and I don't think that Boston matches up with them.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jay, you're throwing out. You have a big athletic next couple of days. Tonight, you're throwing out the first pitch at the Mets game. Then it's 2-on-2 tomorrow. All eyes on you on the Key and Jay Barton Hahn 2-on-2 basketball game. But tonight, you got to throw out the first pitch at the Mets game.
First pitch at the Mets are playing the Natties. Won the first two games already, so I'm stoked to see that. Get a chance to. I'm not going to have my guy there though. So when we went down to Durham, North Carolina. Went on 99 The Fan, our affiliate, hung out with all the guys in Raleigh, got a chance to go visit Duke, see John Shire, new head coach, got a chance to see Key, catch some footballs, make some passes. And James Steele, our producer, was my catcher for the Durham Bulls' first pitch. And he was worried about me, but James, how would you overall assess my pitch?
Oh, it was right down the middle. Okay. Yeah, I mean, so I think today.
Tonight, how I set that up? I hear it in his voice.
So tonight. If it's not right down the middle, I think we all know what the problem is. So
I want a curveball.
See, this is what happens. It almost caught me a little bit when I was on the mound at the Bulls game. You get up there, and I know I can get across for home plate, but you're like, yo, do I put pop on it? Do I let it rip?
Jay, I told you my story, right?
No.
I threw out the first pitch either of a Tampa Bay game or a Marlins game promoting a show IMAX on Fox Sports Net way back in the day. And as I'm just going to, lob it in.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the PA announcer goes, fire it in there.
Oh,
so now I'm already.
That's how they get you.
So I try to put some juice on it. And ground, now the catcher, ground. Could the catcher have caught the ball? I think he could have made a play on it, but he didn't. So it was a wild pitch. And when I get up to the booth, Keith Hernandez, because I called an inning of the game, Keith Hernandez tells me, that's the hardest first pitch I've ever seen thrown out. They get your ego.
See, that's what they know, because I threw out the first pitch before the Mets game, and it went out of the frame.
Yeah.
So, Pat Costello, our producer, was killing me. He's like, yo, your pitch went out of the frame.
It went out of the frame.
So it was a little bit of a lob.
I want a curveball, Jay. I don't want no fastball.
No
curveball,
Jay.
Knuckleballs, curveball,
breaking ball. I want curveballs, breaking ball. That's
what
I want.
I'm like Max shooting this free throw tomorrow.
Yeah, I want a two seamer.
Make the damn free throw. Get the ball over home plate. That's all I want.
Which he has a lot of pressure on him because if he doesn't make that free throw, I'm gonna enjoy myself with a lovely dinner here in New York City on Max's dime.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the bet, though.
By the way, Amar'e Stoudemire just walked in here, and it smells like roses in this room. I don't know what the hell just happened. I'm like, what is that, berries?
You want to ask him what kind of cologne he uses?
This is potent.
No, this is just natural juices and berries.
Natural juices and berries, man. That's it.
Damn.
That's it.
What is that?
That's that John Barbados, man.
Yeah. Ooh, see? Can't have money. Can't hide it. Can't hide it. So I'll get over
playing that D'Antoni offense, boy. Cash money.
Works out.
Amar'e Stoudemire coming right up in 10 seconds. Keyshawn,
J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Splash Brothers spreading the floor. And so it's such a different dynamic defending the Golden State Warriors, but it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a close series. It's going to be a tightly contested series.
Their transition defense might be the best in the league. And against the Warriors, you better believe you need a good transition defense.
Game one, is it a wash for the Celtics because of the fatigue and also the awe factor of being on the road on this stage? It's new.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key today. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So fresh and so clean. Amar'e Stoudemire here, natural juices and berries.
Oh, yeah, that smell just.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask you a personal question?
I like the, I like the fact that Amari's here. You know why? Because now the Jews have even upped the odds on the show. It's 2-on-2.
Can I stop? I need to ask you a personal brother question because you've now been in the media game. Well, you've been in it for a while, but, like, you know, you've been in it constantly over the last several weeks.
Yep.
How many fires have you had to put out? Because I know you're always put in those weird, precarious situations where people getting you to talk about things that are intimate. Like, how is it adjusting to that?
I haven't got any of it, to be honest with you. It's been pretty smooth, man. I haven't got any. I haven't had to put out any fires.
That's what's up.
Since doing this, you know.
That's a skill set, man. Mm. That's a skill set. So what are your thoughts on this whole series coming up? We got the Celtics, Warriors. What do you think?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great series. Both teams are evenly matched. I feel like both teams has enough experience to win, right, with what Boston went through this postseason to get to where they are. They beat some great players and great teams to get there, right? And Golden State, obviously, you know, have the experience over the years of winning championships. It's going to be an interesting series.
So here's what I get a little bit worried about for Boston, right? So I was taking the guys through this. All the teams that they've beaten in the playoffs, right, they've been ISO-type guys, right? KD, Kyrie, to a degree,
yep.
ISO-type guys.
Yep.
10 eyes on the ball. You kind of feel where it's coming and waiting for those guys to create plays. Giannis, no Chris Middleton. All eyes on Giannis when he has the ball in transition. Yep. Now, Miami plays a little bit of a continuity, but at the end of the day, you knew with Tyler Hero being hurt, Kyle Lowry, you knew what it had to go through, right?
Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo is going to be the two guys, yep.
Now, like, now it's continuity 24/7, man. Sure. Like, it provides different challenges, chasing, you know, staying disciplined throughout the entire position. I'm not saying they haven't done that. It's just different. How do you think they'll adjust to that?
Well, it's going to be – I think the most important factor with trying to adjust to that is to simulate that and shoot around or practice, more so practice, right? You have maybe 4 days before – they have 4 days before the game on Thursday, right? So – you take a day off, relax, recover, heal up. But then there's also moments in practice where you can simulate, whether it's your coaching staff, your development guys, where you can somewhat try to simulate what the Warriors do so the players can get used to chasing off multiple actions. Mm. And if they don't get that, if they don't get those reps in immediately, they might get caught off guard in game one. So it's important to kind of get those guys prepared for all that type of action that's going to happen in game one. And if they do that, then they'll have a better chance of guarding them. But it's going to be difficult for sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to take it to the coaching side. When you look at Ime Udoka and what he's been able to do in his first year, but then on the opposite side, you have a guy like Steve Kerr who's done it over and over again with this roster. Are you concerned about the inexperience from Udoka in this matchup?
Yeah, it's a little bit concerning, but not to the point where I can change my thought on who's going to win the series, right? I feel like Ime Udoka has been – on some pretty good teams from a coaching standpoint, right? He was with us in Brooklyn last year. He was, you know, obviously with the Spurs for a while, watching Popovich and his expertise at work. And now for him to have his own somewhat, imprint on his coaching style with the Celtics, I feel like he's going to be solid with the decision making in the game. But Steve Kerr has the edge on that because of the experience that he's been through over his years.
So take me through this for a second, because we see Udoka and what he's been able to do, being a former player. You got Darvin Ham, who's going to be in L.A. You have a guy like Jason Kidd. How important is it to have a guy that played the game and can understand, and you probably know this as well as anybody, when you have somebody that played the game and can relate on you on every level, he can probably talk to you a little differently than the next man probably can. How sure. important is that for a player to be able to hear his message, but then go out there and implement the message that he's hearing from his coach as well?
Well, I think it's important for a lot of reasons, right? Because one is that, you know, as we play in the NBA season, it's a constant grind. You know, you have practice, you have games, you have 82 games, you have lack of sleep, you know, you want to spend time with your family. And as a former player who's now a coach, understands that grind. So if a player comes in and say, hey, coach, you know, I'm a little tired, you know, today. The coach understands, like, okay, I understand why, because you played, you know, 38 minutes, you played these amount of games. I get it. I've been in that, you know, in that gauntlet before. You know what I'm saying? So, and let's keep in mind, Steve Kerr's also
a former player. Yep.
You know, and so that's why Steph Curry and those guys relate to him as well. But I feel like being a former player allows the players to relate to them because the coaches, the former player coach, can then now understand what the player's going through and have a better communication with the players.
You know, Jay was talking about this earlier, and we've been discussing this in the weeks, you know, of the playoffs. The Warriors, Jay, you brought up the kind of defensive problem, like offensively the problems it poses for the Celtics defense. They also have players like, for the first time really in this Warriors run without KD, Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins and guys who can go get their own shots and do a lot of things to you, even if it becomes, you know, it's not just Klay and Steph and a bunch of role players. The role players are extra, right? They're also favored in the series. Steph has also never won a finals MVP. What would it mean for them to win and for Steph to win finals MVP?
I mean, it says a lot, you know, about the player. If Steph can pull this off and the Warriors can win, that would be a major, major uplift for him because he's been able to win championships now without Kevin Durant, which a lot of people thought maybe would be difficult for him to do if he wins a championship, right? Mm-hmm. And for him to be somewhat of a cornerstone piece for your franchise, you draft him, you develop him, and he becomes who you want him to become, and he's winning championships. And now he's going to go now against the odds once again, you know, get Klay Thompson back healthy, and now you're back in the finals against the odds, and now you're gonna win. You know, you got a chance to win the championship. That says a lot about a player. I mean, that doesn't go unnoticed, man. Listen, I played in the NBA 14 years. I played 4 years overseas, and to get to a championship game is not easy. And for him to do that, it's incredible.
Stat, we got a minute left, but real quick, I'm curious if the Warriors do win the world championship, but Steph doesn't win the finals MVP, does that make you look less or think less of Steph Curry?
No, okay. Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Nope, I don't think so at all.
I mean,
no.
I just want to get your player.
I knew it was going.
Less than what, Jay? Less than what? Why would you think less of him now? He hasn't won one yet.
You know, I'm just trying to get your opinion on
yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Amari, Jay thinks that winning a finals MVP is a bad thing. You don't want finals.
Nope, never said that.
I don't know.
I just don't use it as a you know, statement mark.
That's
all the time.
Amari Stoudemire giving the straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Jace standing up for all short point guards.
Hey.
Who has more to gain?
He's shorter than me.
Tatum. No kidding. I'm not even a point guard. It's Tatum or Steph. Your turn to weigh in next on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.